Hey friends, today we're talking about something that I think every single one of us has lived with at some point, but maybe didn't have the language for. We're talking about the difference from survival and revival. Because God didn't create you to just get by, or to get through the day, or to maybe keep it all together on the outside while falling apart on the inside. He called you to revival, to joy that makes your soul come alive, even when circumstances don't cooperate. God didn't create you just to endure your life. He created you to come alive in it. But here's the challenge. Has a way of draining that joy. It convinces us that just getting by is enough, that numb is normal, and that exhausted is our personality. And boy, can I relate to that one. And I know most of you can too. But God offers something so much deeper than that. Not just revival in our circumstances, but revival in our hearts. And trauma changes how we see the world and how we see other people and situations. But it does not have to change who you are. Hear me clearly on this. When I say trauma may shape your story, it doesn't get to define who you are, unless you let it. Sometimes the very thing that breaks us also begins to free us. And I know that sounds backwards to some of you, because there are things in life that feel impossible to get over. Things where we say, I will never be the same again, or I will never forgive them. And in some ways that's true. You won't be the same. But that doesn't mean you'll be ruined. It might mean you're being rebuilt. None of us, and I mean none of us, are without scars. Some just show more often on the surface. Or if you wear your heart on your sleeve like I do, then they definitely show. And some run deeper than anyone else can see. And there are those of you who never let anyone know what you've been through or the hurt you're suffering from. And here's what I want you to hear. What broke you doesn't get the final say. God does. And when I think about this, I think about the parable of the sower and the different types of seed that fall on the different types of ground. And there are seeds that fall on the path and they get devoured by birds, or they never had a chance to flourish from the hard heart. And then there are seeds on the rocky ground that wither away due to no roots. And this can be seen as a shallow heart. And then there's more seeds that fall among the thorns and they get choked out by the weeds, maybe because of a distracted or a disappointed heart. And finally, the seeds on good soil that grow and produce fruit, on the fertile soil and the open, balanced heart. So when you look at that parable, it's not just about the seeds. It's about us and the conditions of our heart. And it illustrates the different conditions of the heart, whether we fail or flourish, whether we stay stuck in survival or move into revival. And revival isn't about what's happening around you. It's about what's growing within you, inside your heart. And I really believe that gratitude has everything to do with that. And I actually wrote most of this script while sitting on the beach in the rain and the wind and the partial sunshine. I'll tell you more about that later, but it made me think as I was sitting there watching just magnificent, glorious creation of God and the waves and the wind and the sun. If you're living at the beach, sometimes you see those waves and the sunshine every single day, and you might start to take it for granted. I know I've taken things for granted, my own life, my marriage, my healthy children, their ability to get an education, the jobs I've worked, the bills we've been able to pay, the home we live in, the friends we have, the church we attend, the neighbors we go out with, the country we live in, and that we're not in constant terror. We have clean water, hot water. We have cars to drive, grass under our feet, air in our lungs. And somehow, trauma interrupts all of that. It dulls our ability to marvel at God's creation and the blessings around us. And sometimes it keeps us from believing again. And trauma doesn't just hurt you. It tries to steal your ability to see what's still good and what's still possible. And you know, your mind is really not just a place for the anxiety to run rampant and spin the award-winning stories. It can also be the place of your healing. John Acuff, this amazing writer and speaker, he reminds us that if we can worry, we can wonder. Most of us are too afraid to wonder or believe again because we don't want to be disappointed, or we don't want to act like things are okay when they're not. And revival doesn't mean that you don't need God anymore and that you're over it. It actually means you need Him more than ever. But here's something that I have realized in my own revival process is that post-revival pride can sneak in. And remember that if it's meant to be, it's up to me, right? I love that. My stepmother says that. And it's great. And a lot of things are up to you. And you've got to take that first step. And you've got to stick with it. And you've got to keep on this path of sojourn to sanity. And that works in scenarios. In cleaning my house, or if I'm trying to avoid sugar, yes, it is up to me. But not so much in the spiritual setting. Because we can't leave God out of the picture. And pride can be dangerous when we do. And I fell into that trap. And I'll be honest, this is hard to admit because of the choices I've made and going in the opposite direction of my mother and my oldest sister. I found myself slipping into some pride, quiet pride, not boastful, but I started to feel like the older brother in the prodigal son story. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I've been here all along. I've been working, striving, keeping it together. Hi, Bevo. He just came in to say hi. Not falling apart, making things happen, and yet the prodigal son gets celebrated when they come home after abandoning the family, squandering away their inheritance, you know, turning away from God. But they came home. They returned back to Him. And I really had to have God check my heart on that, because the truth is, in that story, nobody has it better than anyone else. Everyone is celebrated. The one who stayed never lost their inheritance. The one who left gets restored when they return. They both win because God loves both of them, not the one that performed better or overcame. And I believe God delights when we start to see the sunshine after the storm. And He also can be sad for us when we choose to stay in the storm, knowing there's a path out there that we can follow. See, grace is and never will be a competition. And our faithfulness is never, ever overlooked by God. No matter what path we fell on, whether we're the prodigal son or the one that stayed, whether we're on the rocky soil or whether we're in the fertile soil, whether your seeds are being eaten by birds or choked out by the weeds, or if they are flourishing in the sunshine, they're all seeds from heaven trying to survive in the elements. And I think that helps me with grace when we deal with people who've hurt us or we deal with things we've gone through. Hear me when I say, nobody loses in the kingdom of God. Faithfulness doesn't disqualify you from celebration, and failure doesn't disqualify someone else from grace. The prodigal son story is just a powerful lesson in forgiveness and in coming back to God. And it reminds us that we don't have to have it all together. And that's where the real joy comes from, because self-made joy is really fragile. It's based on circumstances. And we see that all over social media, right? And platforms and the selfie era where, you know, everything looks perfect on the outside. All the while we know life is not perfect. That's not the kind of joy that God offers. The kind of joy that God offers, that God gives, is unshakable. It's not found in being better or doing better than someone else. And that's where trauma trips us up sometimes. Because either we're on one side where we think we've failed, or we're on the other side where we're comparing stories that we overcame it. And my husband has this great saying when he talks about trauma and swapping stories. You know, when you sit down and you start sharing your story, and this happens, you know, all the time, you start realizing, oh, wow, you know what? No, thanks. I'll keep my story. I'll keep my story. Your story's way worse. And we can get into that comparison trap that really does steal our joy. Because on the other side, the other people are like, wow, they didn't have it as bad as me. Look what I went through. So it's really important that we don't use our pride on the other side of the storm or our self-righteousness to tear down other people who are still sitting in the storm, giving them grace and time to process survival to revival. or to process when we disagree with someone, or to process things that we've gone through and people that have hurt us when maybe they didn't actually mean to hurt us. Scripture in Philippians reminds us not to look only to our own interest, but also the interest of others. But let's be honest, that's really easier said than done, especially when someone has caused you deep pain or hurt. And let me be clear about something. They may have hurt you, but they are not the reason you are still suffering. That may be hard to hear. And that was hard for me to realize. That part, that healing, that journey, that's between you and God. Because whatever happened is in the past and it can't hurt you unless you bring it into the present. I found a journal entry that I wrote back in like 2010 about compassion and extending grace. And it really still, it still tracks today. It says, let go of all the pain and forgive those who have wronged you. They do not do you wrong, but rather didn't have the experience you expected them to have. That was their destiny and this is yours. I'm working through you and I need you to trust me. Forgive them. The feeling will come later. Don't stop loving them though. Even when it hurts, it's your gift of grace. I will provide peace and security, but you must labor in love. And that right there, that's the revival work. Laboring in love. Not acting or pretending like it didn't hurt. It's just about refusing to let it own you. You can go through those long seasons of suffering and live in survival mode for a really long time. I know I did. And that might feel like your new identity, right? Seasons of sickness and diagnosis, trying to save a marriage, bringing home a prodigal, dealing with a difficult family member or a lack of friendships, feeling alone and unmotivated. Even those seasons where you discover you do not have the patience of Job, those are the seasons that stretch you so thin that survival becomes your identity. But they're also strengthening you in the process, just like working muscles. You have that post-workout pain, but you're getting stronger. See, God didn't put you there to barely hang on. And the Christian walk reminds us that we are like trees with roots planted by God. And He is our root system that allows us to withstand these storms. It's just like Christine Kane's book, Faith to Flourish. Amazing book. I highly recommend you read it. She talks about, she loves olives. She's Greek. The olive trees that live for thousands of years and weather all types of storms because their roots are so deep. See, you're not fragile. Because of what you've gone through, you are rooted because of the faith that you have in your heart. And if you're coming out of a season of heartbreak, whether it's job loss, divorce, a broken relationship, or just exhaustion from life, you feel like you can't feel the sunshine anymore, or you just feel numb, I want to invite you to believe again. Not pretend, not fake it till you make it, but believe that God is still working in your situation. And our goal in Godly Noise all along has been to stay focused on God's promises, not the worldly problems. And that's how we shift deep in our soul. It reminds us of that little VBS song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And you know what it says next to that? And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Right? Like, is it really that simple? Can it be that simple? Maybe there's truth in that childlike faith song that we learned at VBS. Because joy fades when the enemy attacks. So yeah, he can go sit on attack because I'm still going to have the joy deep down in my heart. And the truth is, I can't change that pattern that I came from. I can't change the lineage of abandonment, divorce, suicide, or pain, but I can change how it defines my joy. And I can refuse to let it redefine how I see God and the world and the people around me. And it would be so easy to say, this is my story and it's broken and I'm broken. But that's not the whole story. It doesn't matter where you start, it's how you finish. And how you finish well is getting into gratitude. So here's my challenge. I want you to write down two things that you're thankful for every day. I know it's hard. Maybe you don't have to write them down. Maybe you just say them on your phone. Maybe you just think them. Maybe you put them on a sticky note. Maybe you tell someone or tell your husband, tell your friend, tell your kids. You can't complain and be grateful in the same exact moment. You can feel both at the same, but gratitude shifts your perspective. And even David in the Psalms cried out in agony, yet still prayed and worshiping God. Because you can be hurting and still be faithful. And we have got to talk about this because our minds and our prayers are powerful. And ladies, we spin the wildest negative stories. We overthink, we worry, we spiral, and it leads to anxiety and even depression and keeps us stuck. And David and Paul certainly had reasons to be stressed out in their situations. But you know what? A friend from Bible class sent this to me today. Heather sent this on our group chat. And wow, it really hit me hard as I was about to record this episode. It says, anxiety comes from overestimating your problems and underestimating the power of God. And that's just like the sign in my kitchen that says, don't tell God you have a big problem. Tell your problem you have a big God. And I'll preach that all day long because we serve a miracle-working God. And sometimes that little sign in my kitchen is all I need to get my perspective shift for the day. Now, let me tell you about the beach trip we just took because I got to live that out. Not perfectly, might I add. I planned this beautiful trip for my daughter's 18th birthday. She's my last little robin's nest bird. He's about to fly the coop and go off to college. And I just had the perfect vision, the perfect plan, until I checked the forecast while I was packing the night before, of course. 70% chance of rain. The whole trip. And it wasn't just rain. It was pouring, wind blowing, roof flying off kind of rain. I have pictures to prove it. The thatch hut of the restaurant we were eating dinner under had holes in it the next day. So here's my official gratitude statement. Thank you, Florida. You were officially not the Sunshine State that week, or at least the 2 days we were there. And we had to pivot constantly, cancel plans, make new plans, talk in circles about what the plans would be, buy umbrellas. One day we literally pulled over in a bus lane, put on the hazards, told the girls, go dig out your swimsuits in the suitcase because we had just checked out of the hotel and we're going to the next location. I had the flashers on. I mean, it was crazy. My son was running into CVS to buy us towels because suddenly the sun had peeked out after it had been raining. And it was just for a moment. And we had no idea how long it would last. And we didn't know if the place we were going to was going to be pouring down rain or sunshine. And we had an hour drive ahead of us. So we had to literally chase the sunshine. And I thought to myself in that moment, while I was laying on the beach fully clothed, because I didn't have time to change into my bathing suit. So I'm laying there on the beach in the sand and the warm sun and no rain. And I thought, why don't we chase God's promises the way we chase temporary moments of sunshine? Why don't we stop everything, pull over, put on the flashers, open up the Bible, seek Him when we need help the most? If you chased God's presence the way you chase temporary relief, your whole life would change. That's how you move from survival to revival. We pivot and we chase the light. And sometimes for you, that might look like getting out of bed that day or making one good decision and turning away from your temptation, holding your tongue, asking for help. Revival often starts with one small faithful step. Because none of us are without scars. Yes, I came from broken, divorced home marked by alcoholism, pain, suicide, and more, but that is not the whole story. I also came from beauty, from love, from friendships, from protection, from purpose, from success, and a long line of overcomers too, just like my dad and Aunt Susan. And God is still writing my story, and God is still writing your story too. Your past may explain what you react or respond to in certain situations, but it does not get to define you completely. It doesn't get to say how you show up or how you sow the seeds on the path that you're on. From today forward, that's up to you. And we all need grace as we're working on our survival to revival path Just like Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be compassionate and kind, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave us, we also need to have grace for others on this pathway to peace. And Lordy, some people need more grace than others, right? We need to start learning how to sow our seeds into fertile soil and tend to our wounded hearts, because hurt people hurt other people. And if you've been wounded, you were probably wounded by a wounded heart. And when I look back at my mom, I see her differently now. And I hope that you can see the situations that you've gone through differently now. Because I used to think that she was running away from me. I used to think I wasn't worth living for. And now I see she was running from her pain. She was trying to hide her circumstances. And maybe the person that hurt you was doing the same. And that just changed everything about how I saw the situation that I had lived through. And that allowed me to forgive. And that feeling of forgiveness finally settled in. And the anger finally left. And that allowed me to release the pain I'd been holding on to. And I could start to walk forward in grace. And that allowed me to love what looked unlovable. And you know what it showed me is that it was never really about me. It was always about her pain. And that kind of hurts sometimes, because I think about, I had some unforgiveness in my heart for some of the situations. And if I could have just seen it was about her pain, maybe I would have responded or reacted differently. But it has changed my perspective on anger into empathy, from my victimhood into my victory in Christ, from my tragedy that I survived to the triumph I live in revival. Because her pain doesn't get to define my story. It's just part of it, not the whole. And that is part of how I got from survival to revival. Doesn't mean my life is perfect. Y'all know, Lordy, I'm still living in chaos over here. I'm still spinning stories. I'm still flying off the handle some days. I'm still, you know, the golden girl with hot flashes and irritability and all that. And I still look around and go, why? Why is this happening? Why? But at least now I can say, you know what? Maybe my why is not their why. And maybe I can look at myself and say, revival is a process. It's a process, Dimmer. I don't have to figure it out all today. Rome wasn't built today. It's not either or. It's both and. And the story of Ezekiel reminds me of this, because his dry bones, man, his dry bones didn't stand up immediately. First they were rattled. Then they were connected. Then there was flesh. Then there was breath. That's revival. And that's the process. You see it, you surrender, you forgive, you receive, and then you can believe. And when we look at Ezekiel 37, that valley of dry bones, and God asks, can these bones live? And he says, Ezekiel, prophesy to them, speak to them. See, God could have brought those dry bones to life instantly, but he invited Ezekiel into participation. And sometimes revival requires your voice before it reveals God's power. So maybe today, instead of rehearsing what's dead, we need to start speaking what God says, because dry bones don't respond to panic. They respond to the word of God. So if you've been saying this will never change, speak this instead. God restores. God revives. God sees me. God loves me. God is still writing my story. And know that speaking life isn't denial or wishful thinking, right? It's alignment. And that's my word for 2026. I don't know if I've told y'all this or not, but that's my word. Not self-help affirmations, although I think those are good too, because anything to get you out of that negative soundtrack and into a positive soundtrack, taking the lies to the truth. But what I'm talking about, alignment, It's alignment with God's promises. And that's the journey I wanted to take you on these 7 episodes that we've got to do in Godly Noise together, because my bones felt as dry as chicken when, you know, my kids are like, good mom, good try. If you can't visualize dry chicken, think about the Chevy Chase scene in the Christmas Vacation movie. Like that kind of dry, right? Gristly, dry bones. Honestly, Ezekiel said the bones were very dry, which meant it wasn't something that had just happened yesterday. And maybe you've been pulling back because you feel spiritually dry and that emotional mess has been lingering. And if that's the case, I give you permission to lean back in. Not with perfection, not with striving or surviving, but with surrender to the one who gave you full revival skills and all things that you need for living water. And it's important to note that God doesn't avoid the valley here. He walks through it with Ezekiel. Sometimes we pray for God to remove the valley and stop the pain. I can't take anymore, right? I've had enough. Like, Lord, you better shut my mouth because I am really about to say something that's not going to be peaceful or sweet or Christian or whatever. He's inviting us to come in and to breathe. Sometimes we pray for God to remove the valley or stop the pain because we just can't take any more. I know, I've been there. But what he's really doing is he's inviting us to walk through it because he wants to walk through it with us and teach us a lesson to learn from it. See, some of you don't need a new strategy. You just need to breathe and remember that blue dot in the rearview mirror, that there's a lesson here, there's a reason here, there's something here, and I can't see it, and maybe I won't see it this side of heaven. But before we pray, I just want to ask for you to meditate on Psalm 30:11, that you turn your morning into dancing by being grateful and speaking life over your circumstances. Because each of us can speak life over our present, over our future, and even over our past. So I hope that this has been a great journey for you. I know it's been for me. I've had some aha moments myself while I've been researching and writing and speaking to you. And I want to pray for you today because I really want you to move out of surviving and into reviving your heart, reviving the soil, reviving your relationships, reviving your dreams. It's time to live in revival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this journey of learning how to elevate Godly Noise in our lives. We are so grateful that you revive what feels lifeless and that you speak over these dry bones of our past, over the chaos of the present, and over the fear of what's ahead. Lord, we are praying for revival of joy for every listener right now in Jesus' name. Where joy has run dry like an empty well, remind us that Jesus isn't distant. Remind every woman here today that you are ready to restore and renew and refill every jar that's been poured out. Lord, revive what we thought was gone for good. Declare these dry bones can live and that empty jars can be refilled. And that suffering seasons can end as we know. We are not called to live stuck in our stories away from the sunshine. That your story is not over. Thank you, Lord, for these storms that have strengthened us. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we've had to lean into and learn from. Thank you, Lord, for lifting us up from the lowest places and giving us new life and fresh perspective. And helping us be brave and trusting you through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close out season 1 of Godly Noise, we've talked about this powerful journey that we've been on together. Learning how to hear God's voice above the noise. Facing procrastination, fear, and our purpose. Remembering that we are seen, heard, and loved. Navigating anxiety when we are overwhelmed and over it. Letting go of what we were never meant to carry. Turning those wounds into wisdom, and finally stepping out of survival and into revival. If God met you anywhere along this journey, would you pass it on and share it with someone who is still stuck in the noise, or a weary Wendy who needs this sojourn to sanity, a friend, a mom, a neighbor who needs to be reminded they're not alone and that God is still speaking and writing their story. Let this season be a reminder for you to draw a line in the sand. No more surviving, no more shrinking, no more believing the noise. It's time to change the channel. You were never meant to stay stuck in the noise. You were always meant to rise above it. So if this season helped you find any glimpse of that, just wait. Because once you learn how to hear God's voice above the noise, everything changes. So don't go back to the old volume. Stay here. Stay with us at Godly Noise. Stay anchored in. Stay listening. Stay connected on Instagram or Facebook. Season 2 is coming. I'm going to get your input on it. I've got some great ideas. I've got some scripts ready for you, some dreams, some journals. You're going to want to hear what God has to say next. I can't wait to be with you again. Thank you for being with me in this pathway to peace, where we turn down the noise of the world and turn up the noise of God. Until next time, friends.